All right, notice in Proverbs chapter 11, we're reading verses 9 through 12 this evening. And you can see the second word there. We're just going to title the message tonight, The Hypocrite. Notice as we read from verses 9 through 12 in Proverbs chapter 11, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee again this evening, and we thank Thee for the privilege that You've given us, the opportunity to come together. And Lord, we pray this evening, Thy will to be done. We pray, Lord, that as we come to this text, that You will help us. And Lord, we pray that You'll speak to us by Thy Spirit and by Thy Word. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we were in verses 4 through 8, and we titled that, Riches Profit Not. Tonight, we're looking at the subject of how a hypocrite destroys with their mouth. Now, in chapter 10, verses 19 through 21, we preached a message titled, The Multitude of Words. We'll keep coming back to this thought as we do other things in this book. Also in 2010, I preached a message titled Hypocrisy, and we also wrote an article. I got a couple of quotes I may give you out of that. As we come to this passage and other passages, we find that God hates the sin of hypocrisy, and He speaks against it quite often throughout the Scripture. Now, the word hypocrite or hypocrisy may not be used all that many times, but the truth of this is seen over and over. Now, in general, when we come to this subject, it refers to the lost. It refers to the lost in contrast to the just. Notice in verse 9 again, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Now, notice the rest of the verse. "But through knowledge shall the just be delivered." So we still have that contrast. Now, we are told, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to these two verses because we're going to be turning to Matthew 6 in a moment, but we're told in 1 Peter in chapter 2 as Christians to put away hypocrisies. Now, read this, verse 1 and 2. He said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So hypocrisies is something that we are to put away once that we become a Christian. And also here close by in the book of James in chapter 3, again, the section, the whole chapter is dealing with the tongue, so it fits well in what we're looking at tonight. But when we come down in James chapter 2, chapter 3, James chapter 3, gave you the wrong chapter. James chapter 3 and verse 17, I want you to listen to this. Speaking of the wisdom that is from heaven, he says in verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So the Christian, there's no room in the Christian life for hypocrisy. And of course, if you'll just write down verses 13 through 18, he speaks of the wise man, he speaks of the foolish man, he speaks of the words and the thoughts and whatever that come from below, and then he speaks of that which comes from above. Verse 18 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now notice back here in our text. I'm going to read this again. So we see the truth of hypocrisy given to us throughout the Scripture. I'll give you a meaning of this in just a moment. Notice in verse 9 again, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, and through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Let us first of all consider the hypocrite, and then we'll come back and look at the latter part of this verse and verses 10, 11, and 12 also. If you would, turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew. And notice with me as we come to the New Testament in Matthew in chapter 6. We'll come here. Matthew chapter 6. Now the word hypocrite, it's basically hypocrisy is a phony virtue or piety. A hypocrite is one who pretends to be what they are not or hiding what they really are. And hypocrisy is the opposite of sincerity. That being one of the best ways to remember this. In other words, it's an outward show or appearance of being good, but inwardly full of corruptness. Now, notice, and I'm going to give you an example of this. We're going to read in Matthew 6, also in Matthew 7, and then in Matthew chapter 23. Now, we put in the article, this one has been 10, 11, 12 years ago, 2010, put in the article a few thoughts about this. And one is that the Greek word hypocrite, the Greek word for hypocrite, is H-Y-P-O-K-R-I-T-E, almost sounds the same. And it refers to a play actor. I want you to think about this. We think of performers today and actors and pretenders. So the Greek word refers to a play actor or one who wears a mask to represent the identity other than his own. And this is so true in the ancient world as well as it is today. They had the theaters and all of the acting and things back in the first century and before that. In the Lord's day, they had not only the circuses and the races and the fightings and all of that kind of stuff, but they had also the theaters. And many times they wore masks, you know, and acting. And we also put in this article, it is the pretense to be who one really is not, especially the pretense of being good when one is not good. And that's just another way of saying what we have just said. So it is a phony virtue or piety. Again, it's to pretend to be what someone is not or hiding what they are. Now, in this article, I put on the front of this a quote, and this comes from the 1600s, Thomas Brooks. And he said, "A hypocrite may offer sacrifice with Cain and fast with Jezebel and humble himself with Ahab and lament with the tears of Esau and kiss Christ with Judas and follow Christ with Demas and offer fare for the Holy Ghost with Simon Magus, and yet for all this, his inside is as bad as any of theirs." That's the hypocrite. Quote by the same author, and by the way, in Job 8:13, it says, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." So again, basically, it refers to the lost. The saved, the Christian, is to put away all hypocrisies. Another quote says, "A hypocrite cannot mourn for sin as sin, nor grieve for sin as sin, nor hate sin as sin, nor make head against sin as sin." Mark, number one. To hate sin is not merely to refrain from sin, for so Balaam did, even then when he was tempted to it. That's Numbers 22. Number two, to hate sin is not merely to confess sin, for so Pharaoh and Judas did, Exodus 10 and Matthew 27. Number three, to hate sin is not merely to be afraid to sin, for this may be where the hatred of sin is not. Number four, to hate sin is not merely to mourn because of the dreadful effects and fruits that sin may produce, for so Ahab did and the Ninevites did. But listen to the last two statements in this quote. He says, "He that fears sin for hell fears not to sin but to burn." Now here's the good part. "But he that hates sin indeed, who hates sin as hell itself." So this is a very important, you know, subject as we come to the scripture, and that's why I wanted to spend most of the time on this. Again, we've got one message that's 11 or 12 years ago now. Now notice as we come to the book of Matthew in chapter 6, I think the Lord Jesus gives us a good definition and brings us home here in this passage. What we're going to be reading, I'm just going to pick out a few verses. By the way, we just sung the Lord's Prayer from this, so this will be very appropriate. I never even thought to put that together, but I'm glad we did sing it. But I want you to notice that in this passage, the Lord criticizes the hypocrites for being pious in public when they gave alms and prayed and fasted, while at the same time they were desiring human praise and not praise from God. Let me give you an example of this. Let's look at the alms first of all. He says in verse 1, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." So anything that we do for the praise of men, we get a reward right now, but there'll not be any in heaven. We'll get the, you know, we'll get the clap and so forth now, but there'll not be any reward in heaven. So here is a warning against almsgiving. Now notice with me as we come to verse, I'm coming down now to verse five. Notice now he speaks of prayer. And he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward." Nothing wrong praying in public, but we see this principle. All right, now notice as we come down to verse 16. Notice in verse 16. We see this again. Again, we see here he criticizes the hypocrite. And we find in verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. So he criticizes those who are hypocritical when they give alms, when they pray, or when they fast. He's not criticizing giving alms for Christ's sake and praying in public or fasting. Now notice as we come to Matthew 7, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. And in this particular passage, we see here that the word hypocrite is used to describe the self-righteous brother, I'll put it that way, in his judgment of someone else. In other words, a text speaks, let me just put it like this, and we do have a sermon on Judge Not, I think that's the title of it, and an article as well. So what this text is dealing with, is dealing with hypocritical judgment. In other words, the Lord Jesus tells us to judge righteously in John 7, verse 24. He said, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments." So we have the right to judge things. When you got up to eat breakfast this morning, you passed judgment on whether you would have this or that. So we pass judgment every day on certain things. In 1 Corinthians 2, we're telling, I think it's about verse 14, that the those who are spiritual, you know, judges all things. We also find in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, I believe it is that the Lord told the church, you know, judge these things in the church. They were going before the court systems and carrying one another into the public and among the lost. And he said, no, you judge these things and take care of them in the church. Then we're told this again, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 13, the word is used. But we have sermons and article on that. But this here is dealing with hypocritical judgment, pretending to be free from fault when guilty of a greater sin. So watch this as we read it. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. How many have ever had this verse pulled on you? Every drunk knows to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And every hypocrite knows Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. There's just certain verses that people, they don't care nothing about God or His Word or His people or His church, but there's certain things they'll latch on to. And, you're judging, you know, they'll tell you. Judge not, the Bible says. But the context, let's look at the context, because the word hypocrite is used in verse 5. He says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdeth thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. First, notice this, before you judge anything, first cast out the beam that is in thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. The mote is a small, something very small, and we'll say be like a splinter compared to a beam, a two before, you know, sticking out of our own eye, and we're trying to get a splinter out of somebody else's eye. That would be like the analogy here. So it's hypocritical judgment, pretending to be free from fault when we may be guilty of even a greater sin of the person that we're judging. Notice again one more time in Matthew chapter 23 before we go back to our text. In Matthew chapter 23. When we think about this thing of hypocrisy and being a hypocrite, and even in the first century, it has the thought, the Greek word of play acting. There's a number of reasons why I pulled away years ago of movies. I used to love to watch a movie. And then, there's a number of reasons, but this is one of them, is the pretending and the play acting and to be something that they're not. And then you've seen my progression also even in religious movies. A number of years ago, I even got a sermon on, I think it's titled Religious Movies. And I kept thinking, and I'm glad that God will cause us to think by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. I kept thinking about these things. And so years ago, we gave up the secular television. And like some people have done, we tried some of the older movies, and they're as bad as the new when you really start looking at them. And then the Christian films. I remember one particular Christian film that I've probably seen it probably 20 times over the years, because we were so limited at that time to any type of movies. But I kept thinking about this. Now, this was a Christian film. It was my favorite. How many remember Sheffy? Sheffy was my absolute favorite, especially if I was going through any problems in ministry. I'd pull it out. Darlene said, "You going to watch that again?" I said, "Yes." I'd watch it at least once a year. Be going through some trials and tribulations. I'd pull it out, and I'd feel pretty good after I got through watching Sheffy and what he went through. But I kept thinking about this, and even in the Christian films, there's other problems with them. But what are people doing? They're play acting. They're pretending to be husband and wife when they're not. And I think that's dangerous. I just think that's dangerous. And we wouldn't want to do that here in the church. And so I just think it's dangerous. So that was the reason I backed off of that. And you know that everything I think I see that is right, I tell you about it and usually preach on it somewhere along the way. Well, notice in Matthew chapter 23, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I want to get back to our text. But in this chapter, well, let me read verse 28 to start with, and I'll read just a few verses from it. But notice in verse 28 that he says this. He says, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That's a strong statement. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus announced 8 woes. Now think about that. When the Lord says woe, you better stop. He announced 8 woes on the scribes and the Pharisees, and then he calls them hypocrites, I believe, 7 times in this one chapter. And according to verse 28, they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, I'm just going to briefly say a few things about this chapter. Verses 1 through 4, the hypocrite's walk is contrary to his or her talk. I'll read a few of these, starting in verse 3. Speaking to those that sit in Moses' seat in verse 2. Verse 3 now. "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So a hypocrite's walk is contrary to his talk. Not only that, in verse 5 and 6, and I'll not read these, I'll read this, yes. Verse 5 and 6, we find here that they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. He said, "But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the upper room, the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue." In verses 7 through 12, they think highly of themselves and little of others. In verse 13, they never embrace a whole Christ. You know how somebody just play around with this? They never embrace Christ wholly and completely surrender to Him. They may name the name of Christ. Like I was told one time, we just got to get people halfway there. I said, no. I got a phone call of somebody who used to come to this church, and years later they talk about coming back, and I said, still believe the same thing. I said, we'd love to have you, but I still believe the same thing. And for the reasons that they left. And so we began talking about this, and I even started talking about some of these things on the phone. They said, well, no, we just need to get them halfway. I said, no, we need to get them all the way. We need a whole Christ and to be surrendered, you know, to Him. Well, they decided not to come back. Verse 14, they're self-serving. You can read these passages later. They're very self-serving. For pretense, make long prayers. In verse 15, the hypocrite makes other hypocrites like themselves. You know, as Christians, we're to reproduce ourselves. And hypocrites, they reproduce themselves. They just make other hypocrites. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." In verses 16 through 21 or 22, they disregard the word of God. They're always looking for loopholes in God's word. Don't ever do that. Don't go to the word of God trying to get out of something. That's what the hypocrites do. In verse 23 and verse 24, they choke on the truth. In verse 23 and verse 24, verse 24 said, "You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." In verse 25 through verse 28, they're satisfied with externals and neglect the internal cleansing of the heart. That's an hypocrite. In verse 32 through 39, the hypocrite shall be judged, as in Matthew 24, verse 51. So that's what this whole chapter is about, is really about hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Now turn back with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. I'll give you another passage that compares the two, and that's Isaiah chapter 33, verse 13 through 15. There's two kinds of people among God's professing people: the sinners of Zion, which he calls the hypocrite, and then there's the godly. So you have that. Now notice as we come back to our text. Now let's read verse 9 again, and then we'll just briefly comment on some of the other passages here. Again, I just felt like this is important to kind of slow down and really, you know, think about, because the world is full of hypocrites, and we as Christians are to put away all hypocrisies. And the wisdom that comes from above, it's without hypocrisy. And so notice now verse 9, "An hypocrite with his lips destroyeth his neighbor." But notice the opposite of this: "But through knowledge," that is the understanding of God's word and his wisdom, "but through knowledge shall the just," that is the Christian, we say Christian today, or disciple, "the just be delivered." So we find that the hypocrite destroys his neighbor with his mouth, with harsh words, and harsh words do damage other people. They damage as much as using your fist or a club. They damage. And we've got to always be aware of that. But notice, "through knowledge shall the just be delivered." The value of sound doctrine and sound knowledge, which will guard against error. Give an example of that. Now, Sunday morning, we were in two passages that I'll just repeat. And one of them is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." And the other was in 2 Peter 1 and in verse 5. And one of the seven things that we are to add to our faith, it's not the first thing, but one of the seven things is knowledge. First thing, I think, is virtue, and then knowledge. But I'm going to read in Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6. And this is where God, according to verse 1, he has a controversy with his covenant people, Israel. And because of their sin and their swearing, their lying and their killing and stealing and so on, committing adultery and etc. But notice, I'm going to read in verse 6, "My people," listen to this, "are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Again, in chapter 6 and verse 6 of Hosea, he said, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." So we see the importance of not only understanding the Word of God, but believing it and incorporating it into our life. And also in 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, you remember we talked about people are taken captive by the devil. The only way to recover from that is through the truth of God's Word. And in Colossians 1, verses 9, 10, and 11, is one of the greatest passages in all the Bible that speaks of this, because he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Reason in verse 10, not so that we can debate or show off, or be a hypocrite. But the reason is that we need this wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, verse 11, strengthened with all might. So this is the reason for this. So what will deliver? We find that the truth of God will always deliver us from the mouth of the hypocrite or from hypocrisy even in our own lives. Now notice now as we come to verses 10 through 12. I'm going to put verse 10 and 11 together. He says here in verse 10 and 11, and when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. But the blessing of the upright, the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, how true this is. And these two verses, and you write down chapter 16, 7, and also in Esther chapter 8 and verse 15, and these two verses, we see here the health of the community is linked to good men and women. Yes. We'll just say community, that we can include the church, the nation, the home. But the health of a community is linked to good men and women. Otherwise, it will deteriorate and it will eventually die. And you can just write these down, chapter 28 in verse 2. Says, for the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Then in chapter 29 and verse 2, he said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I think we see this going on right now in Europe. I think we see a little bit of it going on in the United States as well. And so even in the Old Testament, a godly king using his authority for the glory of God would be praised by the people. 2 Chronicles 24:16 would be a good example of that. Notice he says here, he speaks of the wicked and the righteous, verse 10-11. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Notice the wicked, they are a curse to any community. They're a curse. And then verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. How true this is. Now verse 12, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. And that's true, isn't it? And you can write down chapter 18, verse 13, beside verse 12. But notice he said in verse 12, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. In other words, a good man or a good woman will have pity on their neighbor. They will not despise them. They will love them. And they will hold their peace in the sense that they will not be criticizing and slandering them. You remember the story of David when he was fleeing and on the run, a refuge, and the man walking on the other side of him, cursing him. One of his soldiers, you know, won't take him out. He said, no, leave him alone. God knows what he's doing. Let him curse. And he cursed David, and David just kept walking on. Let us stand tonight. So we know a little bit about the hypocrite and hypocrisy and keep it out of our own lives, right? Father, we thank you tonight again for this day and for this time that you've given us together. We ask your blessings now upon the remaining of the service. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.